because of what the Lord is showing us and our desire to have a properly functioning New Testament assembly. We want to come together, and we come together to do what we're supposed to come together for. And I believe that this verse pretty much gives an overview of why we come together and what's supposed to happen when we do come together. And I'm reading from the NASV version, so it may be a little different if you have the NIV or the King James version. But we'll still get there together. So what is the outcome then? Notice that outcome and D is in parenthesis. What is then? What is it then? What is a service supposed to be? This is what Paul is talking about here in chapter 14. What is it then, brethren? When you assemble, how many of us? Everyone, each one. Any other translations? Everyone, each one of us has a what? Psalm, a hymn, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation, but let all things be done for edification. Now, what I believe the heart of the apostle is here is that when we come together, that we are all supposed to come to function and not to spectate, but participate. And we will be giving time, just like we've just had and just like we had this morning, where we will be released to go forth and minister. I pray that as we did this morning, that there were so many good testimonies that were given, that were so edifying. People shared what God had done in their lives over the past week or so. And we heard everything from miraculous healing to miraculous finances. We had heard that God was really moving amongst us. Did we not hear that? Was that not edifying? Did it not tell us that for a truth God is truly among us? So when we do this, then we're going to keep on going. And my desire, as we were sharing it at the care group again, and they really ministered to me this past week, but I was sharing with them, and my desire is, I know that sometimes I come in here and I am preaching by permission and not by revelation. I come and I preach because I'm prepared to preach, and this is what you expect me to do. This is what, in the world's eyes, I get paid to do. That's my job. You with me? But when we come here, it might not be me that has the revelation or has the teaching. Now, we're just not going to open it up and just let anyone come and do certain things. You understand that, don't you? I mean, we're going to watch it, but at the same time, we really do want to move in this direction. And so I just wanted to open up with that tonight, because this is where we are heading. We're heading to a place where we can do these things, but after the foundation is laid and after some certain things happen, then we can start allowing more things to happen upon that foundation. And then we're going to start moving. One thing that our church lacks is places to function. For example, many of you are called to teach and are apt to teach. Many of you. But in the way that our church is at this point in time set up, there's no time, there's no place for you to function in that calling and that anointing on your life. So we've done different things, such as the care groups, and we're doing some different things. We're thinking now about some things. See, that was the good thing about the traditional denominational churches, is that there was always the Sunday school classes. And when you grew to a certain point, or maybe you didn't even have to grow to a certain point, they just gave you a Sunday school class. And you would develop your abilities to teach in that Sunday school class. That's what happened to me. I was given a Sunday school class, and then I developed some things and then moved on into pastoral work. So what I'm saying is that we want to bring our fellowship to a place where everybody functions. And those that have the desire and the anointing to teach get the opportunity to teach. Those that have a revelation have the opportunity to share that revelation. That's what we really want here. Is that biblical? Or is it biblical for me to come up here and perform for you with a Corinthian mentality every week? That's what we're wanting to do, is be renewed in our minds and being changed. Someone just gave me a word in our little break and told me that they were talking about like the Richter scale thing and how that when the earthquake happens, it's 2 is actually 10 times larger than 1, and 3 is actually 10 times larger than 2, and so forth when an earthquake happens. And it changes things, doesn't it? When an earthquake happens, things change. And when you're growing in the natural and you're a little child and you begin growing, overnight your arm might grow a quarter of an inch. And that glass that you used to reach for and just be able to reach your hand around, all of a sudden you reach and you knock that glass over. Because there's an earthquake that's happening and you're growing and things are changing. And it's not real comfortable. And did you go through clumsy times when you were, some of you still are clumsy, but did you go through a clumsy time when you were growing up? Do you ever remember I was very clumsy. There was a point when I was growing and I was clumsy. And that's why I was clumsy. And so when a church grows and does these things, when we mature, it's like a clumsy time. You know, things might not flow all the time. There's earthquakes that are happening in our lives. And we're growing. We might knock over some glasses. We might do some funny things. But our aspiration at the church at Lafayette is to have a legitimate New Testament assembly. Amen. How many want that? Don't you? Amen. Chapter 12. Would you hand out these things, please, Lance, you and Steve, and maybe get a couple more just to help you knock it out real quickly. We're going to read the chapter once again. And while they're handing them out to you, I want to recap what we talked about this morning. So don't pay attention to them. Listen to me. And they'll have you a paper in a second, and we're going to stand and read it. We talked this morning about the first several verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And what we saw, the first thing, was that people can think they are very spiritual, but only be very divided. Gifts do not make us spiritual. If not functioning in the proper way, what gifts will do is divide us. If this were not true, then we would not see all the Pentecostal churches. We would not see the Assemblies of God, the Church of God, the Church at Lafayette, everything else that's called Pentecostal that emphasizes the gifts. All these think they're spiritual, but all these are very divided. And us among them. And I don't want to sound like we're pointing fingers at them, because we're as divided as they are. And though we don't hand out a program when you come in here, like maybe they do across the street, you can stay at home and look at your watch and just about tell what we're doing every Sunday morning. Come on. And we may change all this up so you won't know what we're doing if you stay at home. And we do that from time, don't we? Just change some things. But being spiritual is not gifts. And gifts do not bring... You can have gifts. You can have the commands of gifts and think you're very spiritual, but in actuality be very divided. Then the second thing that we saw is that this 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians is not a discourse on the gifts, though they are listed, and though Paul does mention them, his emphasis is actually the need and the love of the body of Christ. That must be settled in our thinking. If we don't settle that, we will not have an understanding of why chapter 13 is coming up. And then why is he talking about the eye cannot say to the ear and so forth? We won't understand that if we don't understand that his real emphasis is not the gifts, but his emphasis is the body. Then third thing that we saw this morning is the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, nor Father God, none of those want us to be ignorant concerning what really being spiritual is. What Paul is telling us here in this chapter is it is not the command of the gifts that make us spiritual. It is the ability to love and need the body that makes us spiritual. Am I correct on this? And then the fourth thing that we saw, as we started looking actually at the text, is that we saw that there's a test to see if we, if I, if you, or if anyone else is really spiritual. Do we curse the Lord? And we decided that Paul really wasn't probably talking here about somebody literally cursing Jesus Christ. We would know immediately that person is not spiritual. But if they curse his body, are they cursing him? If they curse other churches, are they cursing him? And so what we've got to learn to do is, being spiritual is growing to the place of understanding that we just don't curse other Christians. If they don't do things the way we do them, if they don't see them the way we see them, if they don't believe them the way we believe them, does that make them cursed? God forbid. Because if that's true, then we're cursed because we don't see them like they see them. We don't do them like they do them. Don't curse the body of Christ. And another thing that he says that you always will know if a person is spiritual or not is Jesus Lord? Is he Lord of the earth or is he not Lord of the earth? Is he Lord of the earth now or will he be Lord of the earth in some millennial? He will be Lord of the earth in the millennial, and I'm not definitely not getting into that. But the emphasis is that the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. He is Lord right now. Spiritual people know that. The devil's not bigger than God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's what we've got to know. And that the Lord Jesus Christ dwells in me, then there is nothing that I cannot overcome. Nothing. The only reason I can is because I don't want to. Okay. With that said, I want you to stand. And let's read these 31 verses. We read them this morning. They are so good. We'll read them again. So read real loud and read real fast, and you'll be sitting down again in a minute. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Stop there and read that one again. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all prophets? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Amen. Amen. There's a verse that says that when one member suffers, all the members should suffer. And I'm not going to get into that tonight, but I just want to mention it right now because I just felt that I should. How many of you, when you're going through a hard time and you're suffering something, you really do need somebody to suffer it along with you? Don't you? Sure. Willis, was it good when you were suffering as you were a couple of months ago to have people that you knew really cared for you, for your family, and were suffering with you? That's just a part of loving one another, is that when we go through times, knowing that there are people that will suffer through it with us, there is no greater ministry that we can have one for another than when we go through times with people when they are really going through struggles and hard times. Now, point number one, there are diversities of gifts, but without the presence of God, there is nothing. Now, that's his thought here in verses 4 through 10. There are diversities of gifts, but without the presence of God, there is nothing. Paul lists here 9 gifts. He lists the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretations of tongues. But I want us to say, and I want us to go ahead and mention this right now, this is not an exposition of the gifts of the Spirit. I'm about to show you on the overhead 21 different gifts that the Bible talks about. 21 gifts, only 9 are listed here. There are 21 different gifts, diversities of gifts, different kinds of gifts. Therefore, because I know that, and because the Bible teaches me that there are more gifts than just these 9 gifts, then I know that this is not an exposition. This is not a total writing about and a teaching about the gifts of the Spirit. What Paul is trying to do here is emphasize a few of these gifts and just say, listen, it's not the gifts that make you spiritual. It's loving the body. It's needing the body. I want to show you these. And again, this is not the emphasis of the chapter, so this is not what my emphasis will be either. But these are a list of the gifts of the Holy Spirit from 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, from Romans chapter 12, 6 through 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, and then from 1 Peter chapter 10, verse 11. 10 and 11. Chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretations of tongues, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling, mercy, apostles, helps, governments, evangelists, pastors, and speaking. All of these are gifts that the Bible lists as gifts of the Spirit. There's 21 that I know of. He says there are diversities of gifts. But no matter how many of these gifts that we can function in, if I can manifest all 21 of those in my personal life, if I cannot manifest them with the Holy Ghost, they mean nothing. I have learned in ministry that it doesn't matter how good I preach, how much I prepare, how well we sing, how pretty the building is. It doesn't matter if God isn't here and His presence isn't here, nothing is accomplished. There's diversities of gifts, but without the presence of God, there's nothing. And I really believe that what the apostle is wanting to relay to these Corinthians, these charismatics, is the very thought that, folks, you can do all this stuff, but if God's not with you, you got nothing. And we need to hear that, don't we? See, again, it's not the gifts. It's properly loving one another. It's having Him here in our body. It's relating one to another. It's suffering one with another. It's rejoicing. I wanted you all to rejoice with me when I got back from Trinidad. I was rejoicing. Something had happened to me. I couldn't relay it. I got frustrated because I couldn't tell you how happy I was. And I wanted people to rejoice with me. And we can have all of this stuff. We can have apostles and prophets. But if the presence of God isn't here, we've really got nothing. And I really believe that's what Paul is wanting to relay here. And the Holy Ghost is wanting to say to you and me. He says there in verses 4, he says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." Do you see there that everything that happens comes through God? And though we can function in it, if His presence isn't here, all we're doing is making a sound and being a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. So the point is that in 1 Corinthians 12, isn't an exhaustive list of the gifts. There are many, many more gifts that I've just shown you. There are many, many more gifts. There's all different kinds of gifts. There's all different manifestations, all different ways that these gifts can come forth and do come forth. There's all different ways. The Lord is going to administer them. The power of them will come through God. But if the Holy Ghost isn't giving them out, if the power of God isn't working and working them in us, and if the Lord God isn't administrating them, we've still got nothing. We've got gifts. And so again, the emphasis is not gifts. The emphasis is coming to the point where I need you and you need me. And we can't get along without each other. Loving God and loving people, and we can hang everything else on that. The second thing that I want to discuss, and I'm going to turn to some of these in a few seconds because I want you to know where these gifts are found, and I want you to see them in your Bible. And by the way, I have done an 18-page, typed-out page like this, an 18-page study on this chapter, and I've got all these gifts listed and their Greek definitions, all 21 of them, and other words all listed. And if you would like a copy of that, then just get with me and I'll get you one and I'll try to have it for you sometime soon. The second point that I want to bring out tonight is that manifestation of the Spirit is given to every person to profit all the body. Let me say that one more time. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every person to profit all the body, not the individual. When I function in a gift of the Spirit, it is to profit the body, not to profit me. The day of the performer is over. If I'm showing you how well I can prophesy, or how well I can teach or preach, or how well I can quote scriptures, or whatever, then I'm missing and I'm not profiting the body. Though I have a gift, it's not profiting, it's not accomplishing what God wants it to accomplish. 12:7 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man." It's given to who? Every man to do what? Profit with all. Profit all of us. Now I want us to notice two things here. Number one, the manifestation of the Spirit through the gifts is to profit all the body. Now, I want to say something. Can anybody in here, and I'm really asking this now, can anybody in here tell me of a way that in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit manifests Himself other than through the gifts? Can anybody in here tell me of a New Testament biblical example, Can you tell me biblically how the Holy Ghost ever manifests Himself other than through the gifts of the Spirit? Tongues, but that still can be talked as a gift. I was thinking about this, and you see, I really don't know of one. Of course, the preaching of the word, but that's the form of prophecy. You know, Paul says, I come to you not with enticing words, but of demonstration of power by the Holy Ghost. So what I'm wanting us to hear, at least a major part, at least the major part, maybe the only way that the Holy Ghost will truly manifest Himself in my life or your life or this church is through these 21 gifts. We can say we got the Holy Ghost. Let me see the Holy Ghost manifested. Love the body. Serve the body. And we're just not talking about bringing forth a tongue or interpretation of tongues. We're talking about some other things. We get on down here. We're talking about giving, exhortation, mercy, helps. These are gifts and the way the Holy Spirit manifests Himself. We are baptized with the Holy Ghost. We talk in tongues. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, and He really does. So then the manifestation of that is through these gifts. And every one of these gifts should be for the ministering to the body. Am I correct on this? He says, let me read the verse again. He says that the manifestation of the Spirit, and is this how now the how of the Spirit would be manifested? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to who? Every man to profit with all, to profit the whole body. All these gifts are the manifestation of the Spirit, and they're to profit the body. Now, how many of us have these gifts in us? How many? Every man. Now, the word man means man, woman, boy, and girl. It really does. Look it up if you want to. That's what it's not just, it's you, it's man, it's humanity. All of you have this dwelling in you if you're a believer, and especially it's been powered, energized, if you're baptized with the Holy Ghost. And it's given to the body to profit not you, but to profit who? The body. See, the emphasis here is not the gifts. The emphasis is, always will be, the body, the church. The purpose of Jesus Christ, and if you will understand this, if you will get this in your thinking, I think it will help you. It helps me. At least it directs my studies and understanding of the word. From Acts chapter 1 through Revelation 22, chapter 22, at least in that, the primary emphasis is the church. The primary emphasis in the scriptures is the church. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And everything that we read about in Romans and 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, everything that we read is concerning the church. We're praying that the kingdom of God come. What will manifest the kingdom of God? What will teach? What will bring forth? What will the kingdom of God be taught through and brought through? The church. It is His purpose to demonstrate to the powers and principalities through His church His manifold wisdom. And the way He'll do that is by the manifestations of the Spirit in your life and in my life. And you have got some of these, and I'm not limiting you to any. You can have all 21 of them. But you have at least got one of these dwelling in your being. And what it is for is not to dwell in your being, but to minister to the whole body. I want to look now. Paul lists these nine here that we've read about tonight. But what I want to do now is I want to turn, and I want you to see them in your scriptures, because there's a point that I want to make as we look at them. Look with me in Romans chapter 12 in your Bible. Romans 12. These have been labeled as motivation gifts. And that's okay. But the motivator is the Holy Ghost. not the gift. These are gifts. These are just like the ones in 1 Corinthians. But there's a few more that are given here that we can learn more about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And what I want to do is I'm going to read them, but I'm going to read above them and beneath them, because I want you to see that with every teaching about gifts, you're going to find teachings about love, teachings about the body, teachings about one another. Wherever we read about gifts, we're going to read about love. It's because when you properly love, gifts come forth. If you love somebody, you want to give them gifts. And the gifts that are in you, if you love me and you know that I have a need, then you're going to come and minister to me. Though if it's a spiritual thing, you know I'm going through a spiritual battle. If you really love me, you're going to pray for me. You're going to come. You're going to lay hands on me. If I'm sick, you're going to administer the gift of healings to me, gifts of healings to me. If I need a word from God, you're going to seek God. You're going to try to come and give me a word of the Lord, a prophetic word, a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. If I need a miracle, you're going to try to demand that miracle to come forth in my life. I was thinking about that today. I was thinking, you know, so Lord, I've seen a couple of miracles, but I really would like to see some really nice, great big miracles. And then I thought about that. You know, I'd like to see a miracle for your life, but I hope my life never comes to the place where I need a miracle. Does that make sense? You need a miracle, I want to help you get your miracle. But I really hope my life never needs a miracle. But if I need that, then if you love me, you're going to try to minister that to me and get that gift functioning for me. Romans chapter 12, I want to look at verse 4 through 21. I'll read a goodly portion here because I want you to see, again, the emphasis is love and one another. Verse 4, for just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individual members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to proportion of his faith. If service, and I think up there it's ministry. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhorring that what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who are rejoicing and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Aren't you glad he says there, if possible? Verse 19, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How many of you see that though he lists several gifts here, he's also talking about love in one another? Do you see that? You can't separate them. Wherever you find gifts, you're going to find love, and you're going to find ministering one to another. When I properly love you, when the body properly loves, gifts just come forth. You don't emphasize gifts, you emphasize the body. If you emphasize the body and love of the body and needing the body and caring for the body, then the gifts are going to come forth. Look at another one. Turn way over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. And then we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians. This was interesting to me as I saw this, that never were the gifts mentioned where there wasn't love or one another or caring for each other also mentioned with the gifts. And I think that, and I'm going to put that little chart that I had up there for you this morning, I'm going to put it back up in just a few minutes and show you that the Corinthian mentality was to emphasize the gifts. And I think that's what Pentecostal mentality and charismatic mentality has been, is to emphasize the gifts. But in reality, what we've got to do is emphasize the body. Once we have learned it's the body, everything is going to come through the body. The kingdom of God is going to be manifested through His church, through His body. Once we understand that the emphasis really is the body, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think we'll have a much better handle on the manifestation of the gifts in the body. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses, let's see, what do I want to read here? Let me start with verse 8. Above all, keep fervent in your what? Love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, that's the gift he's speaking of here, whoever speaks is a speaking gift. Let him speak, as it were, the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Again, do you see that when you find gifts, you find love and one another? Gifts are diverse. There are all kinds of them. But each and every one of them is for the body and to profit with all, so that the body can really experience the love. Let me just say this. Did Jesus Christ have command of all the gifts? Did He? And when He loved people, when He ministered to people, how did He love them? Did He just say, oh, I love you? He healed them. Is that a gift? Prophesied to them. Is that a gift? Give them a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. My point is that when Jesus Christ loved people, He ministered, He loved them with the gifts. And so that when we love one another, rather than us getting up here and saying, okay, now we're going to have the gifts, and getting people to come in and teach us about the gifts and press the gifts, when we really love one another, we'll be chomping at the bits and can't wait until the opportunity comes so that we can run to that person and minister love to that person, because we know God has spoken to us and given him something that will exhort him, comfort him, and edify him. It's a total different mentality. Corinthian mentality, and I think Pentecostal and charismatic mentality, emphasize the gifts. I think what Paul is doing is emphasizing the body. We emphasize the body, then the gifts come forth. Third point. The body is one body with many members. One body, many members, verses 12 through 14. Again, the emphasis here is the body. The word body in verse 12 is found three times in that one verse. In one verse, he uses the word body three times. The Lord does not want divisions and factions. Do you believe he does? Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Lord does not want divisions and factions in the body. He wants us to be one. What did he pray? Father, I pray that they be one, even as you and I are one. Two uniquely different individuals, uniquely different personalities, can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, become one. And the reason that we don't, the only reason that we don't, is because not because we don't have the power to do it, but because we choose not to do it. You have an enemy because you've chosen to have an enemy. Hello? Did Jesus forgive you? Does he now dwell in you? Does the power to forgive now dwell in you? Can you forgive anybody anything? Sure. And the reason that we don't is because we choose not to. The Lord does not want divisions in his body. He does not want factions. He wants us to combine our idiosyncrasies, our differences, our powers, our uniquenesses, and come together into one powerful body that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. As long as we're fighting amongst ourselves, wanting to be Burger King Christians, you know, have it your way, Burger King. As long as we're that way, we'll never accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. Many members, one body. We continue to exist in the Corinthian mentality of performance and not body. We'll show you that thing at the end when I get done again. The mentality of the Corinthians was emphasizing the gifts, which actually emphasizes superiority or performance. When I told you, and it was Randy who I was talking to, I told you this morning that sometimes we have people in that when we have a prophets in here, the place is full. Morning or night, doesn't matter. And it becomes one of these performance, because we have the Corinthian mentality. Let's go watch the prophet. Maybe the prophet will give me a word. Am I right? Now I'm not talking about us now. I'm just talking about the mentality of the church, of not this church, but the church. Let's go watch the prophet. Let's go watch it. Because they're superior. They'll be performing tonight at the church at Lafayette. And that's the wrong mentality. That's Pentecostal mentality. That's Corinthian mentality. That's charismatic mentality. Biblical mentality is that when the body comes together, not some outsider, but when the body comes together, you get ministered to. Hello! That was good. That's the best thing I said all day. I don't like them sticking some foreign object in my body. Think about it. When the body comes together, the body is made to heal itself. That's why in this body there are diversities. We're just as different as night and day, you and I are. But we're made this way. Point number four. I must see that I am necessary for the body to function properly. Verses 15 through 19. I must see that I am necessary. Let's all say that together. I must see that I am necessary for the body to function properly. I lost you on the last half. Let's do it again. I must see that I am necessary for the body to function properly. Folks, I don't know what to do here sometimes. I hear people say, well, I just don't feel important. I just don't feel wanted. I just don't feel loved. And I don't know what to do, because I know you're telling me the truth, that you don't. And you see me on Sunday mornings or Sunday night, I'm trying to talk to as many people. And it's not because I feel like I'm obligated to come and talk to you. I want to talk to you. This is the once a week I get to see you. And I want to come touch you. I want to come hear your voice. I want to see how things, I want to discern something. I want to see if you're hurting or if you're okay. And I hear people say that, you know, well, I just don't feel important or necessary. You know, maybe if I was the pastor's wife, I'd feel important. Maybe if I was the pastor, I'd feel important. And what Paul is saying here, and I want to read it. Maybe let's just get this. Verse 12. Whereas the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, of that one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Well, that's not, I won't go further than that. Verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Because you don't feel important, does that mean you're not? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. It hurts me when I hear that. It hurts me that you feel that way, that people feel that way. And we have people that attend here regularly that suffer with this, that go through this. We get a phone call. I'm thinking of an individual that calls my wife every so often, and her phone calls aren't as regular now as they once were. But she suffers this, and she goes through a very traumatic, depressed time because she just does not feel like she belongs. But because she doesn't feel like she belongs, is she necessary? If she's not here, are we missing something that she's got to give, even though she may not feel necessary? And I guess what I'm trying to relay to you and what I feel like Paul is trying to relay to these Corinthian Christians is, folks, you are necessary no matter what you do. We can't have a church without you. We can't have a body without you. There will be nothing here if you're not here. You have got to know. You just got to know it. You're necessary. And I don't think that the people that are here on a Sunday night service suffer with this as much as some of those that aren't here on Sunday nights. And so maybe we need to somehow relay to them, you're really necessary. Do you know how to, does anybody have an idea how to do that? I try. You know, we got to greet them. We got to love them. But they're necessary. And then, after I know that I'm necessary for the body to function properly, I must see that everyone else is necessary for the body to function properly. Let's say that together. I must see that everyone else is necessary for the body to function properly. One more time. I must see that everyone else is necessary for the body to function properly. Now this one's easier to handle than the prior one to me. And I'll just use the example of feet. Do your feet sometimes smell? When they're smelling, do you take your shoes off and go show them to everybody? Do you say, my feet smell, I'm going to cut them off and put me some hands down there? No, you don't do that. But we do that in the body. Do we do that or not? Now listen. Somebody starts smelling a little bit. Say, God, let's just cut them off and send us some new ones. Most people have pretty ears. But we were sitting today at the table, and my wife's daddy had rather large ears. They stuck out. And Karen was sharing that her mother had us over for dinner, and Karen was sharing, and she said that one of her fears of her babies was having kids who had big old ears. But if Karen's kids had big old ears, Karen, you wouldn't cut their ears off and put an eye there, would you? No, we wouldn't do that. But we do it in the body. You know I'm right, don't you? You know I'm right. And then he uses the example here of the eyes. He says, some of you got pretty eyes. But just because you've got pretty eyes, do you want your whole body to be an eye? That's what he says here. Look, see if he's not saying this. Look with me in verses 20 through 23. But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which be redeemed less honorable to be bestowed more abundant honor. I think I've started too low. Because I know that's what he says there. Verse 16. If the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I am not the part of the body, is it therefore a reason less a part of the body? The whole body were an eye. Where would the hearing be? Is that what he's saying there? Just because you got pretty eyes, just because we have prophetic ministries, does everybody want to be a prophet? Because everybody can see? Is that all we need here is prophets? Come on. If that's the truth, who's going to clean the church? Where would the cleaning be? Okay. I can teach a little bit. Yeah. Declare it, decree it. This church will be clean Sunday. I can teach a little bit. I can prophesy a little bit. So does everybody need to be teachers and prophets? You know, is that what we need to be? If that were true, where would the singing be? How many knows I really can't sing? Now I love to sing, but I can't sing. So do we need somebody that can sing? Where would the musicians be? I can blow my horn, but that's what I do is blow my horn. Folks, we really need each other to have a properly functioning church. You are not called here to do what I do. You're called here to do something, but not what I do. I'm called here to do something, but not what you do. Can you just see one big old eye walking around here? I must see that everyone else is necessary for the body to properly function. Now, do we believe that God has designed our natural body? Do we believe that? Do you believe that God put your natural body together? Do you believe that? Do you really believe that you were formed in your mother's womb by God? Is that biblical? Okay. Then can we believe that God puts this body together? If He put the natural body together, do we really believe that He put the spiritual body together? Do we really believe that He brought Randy and Sandy Culbertson from Illinois to Lafayette, Georgia? Well, then why do some of you talk about Randy and Sandy Culbertson? They're on the wrong side of Illinois. Come on now. Do you believe that He put Steve Allman here? Where does he go? Do you believe? He got Luke. I know where he's at. Do you believe that He put Steve Allman here? Do you? Then why do you talk about Steve? Do you believe that He put me here? And there's not a one of you that hadn't talked about me. And that's okay. But the thing that I'm trying to emphasize to you folks is you need me and I need you. And we're a family and we're a body. And to accomplish what God has called us to do, you've got to know two things. One, that you've got to be here. Two, you've got to know that everybody else has got to be here. Am I right? So what we've seen tonight is there are diversities of gifts, but without the presence of God, we've still got nothing. Have all these... There are here. There, let me tell you. Are all these gifts in believers? Are all these gifts at a Baptist church? But if they don't have the presence there of the Holy Ghost and released, do they have the gifts? Do they have the gifts functioning? No. You can have all of it. But without God, you still got nothing. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every person to profit the whole body. All these gifts are given so that the whole body will profit. The body is one with many members. God's purpose is not to have a bunch of bodies. What was that on television? Was it that movie, The Gate? Is that what it was? This one old body was walking along and he fell down and he turned into 1,000 little old bitty bodies. Did anybody see that? Demon bodies. It was a demon movie, but the thing fell. I was rebuking it. I was praying. I was in tongues. And that's kind of what happened. No, that's a real revelation. Listen, that's what's happened. The church is going along real good, and it falls down, and now you got all these bodies running around everywhere. I must see that I am necessary for the body to properly function. And then I must see that everyone else is necessary for the body to properly function. Is that the Bible? But the main thing that I want us to get today, the absolute main thing, we didn't hear anything else today, because this is the mentality that Paul is addressing, attacking, and trying to change, is this. This is the Corinthian mentality. The emphasis of the gifts. And that's what Pentecost has done, emphasized gifts. That's what charismatics have done, is emphasized gifts. And what that brings is this. What is thought to be spirituality, but is actually superiority. Somebody becomes superior. What it turns into is a display or a performance mentality. And the reason that we don't function in the gifts is because we've got to do it like Diane Palmer does it. We got to do it like Prophet Bill Hammond does it. Or we've got to do it like Scott Webster or Randy Adler or Delbert Young does it. Folks, we're different as night and day. I've received as powerful of words, just as, Pastor, I just want to say this to you, as I have by the laying on of hands and kula baba sandarabosi, thus saith the Lord. You don't have to do it like anybody does it. Just do it. Amen. So what this does is once the spirituality, and which is actually superiority, and the display and the performance takes place, what actually happens is there's no a little body emphasis. But what happens in the church is rather you have a performance emphasis. You have a person or a gift that comes and performs for you. That's wrong. And so what Paul addresses and he now wants to correct is this. Paul's correction of that mentality is emphasizing of the loving body and needing each other. If we do that, then from that comes the gifts, which are a picture of the proper love and need for the body and for each other. I think we've got it. This morning, as I said it the first time, I felt it. You know, you always feel those things as they're being absorbed and bouncing around. But this time it's just totally received, and you know that's the truth. Have all the gifts, still be sounding brass and tinkling cymbals if we're performing. But when we love the body and we allow that to come out of us and can't wait to get to one another, to help them, to love them, to minister to them, gifts will happen. We'll see miracles. We'll see all kinds of healings take place because love is coming forth. Stand with me. More than I want life, I want to see the church be what the church is supposed to be. Nothing really motivates me like understanding the purposes of the church and seeing that being molded and coming together. I love the church. Jesus Christ died for the church. Paul was martyred for the church. Peter was martyred for the church. New Testament believers were fed to lions, burned at stakes because of the church. Jesus is coming again for the church. I want to see it happen, folks. It's my heart and my soul. Father, we desire to have a proper biblical church.